Quick introduction. I'm not gonna deal with the topic because the speakers will deal with the topic. But quick introduction. There's a big question that's asked. The Ramban asked the following question. Right, when I was in high school, I had a big stage where I read a lot of autobiographies. I got into sports autobiographies, and the big thing that everyone talks about in the autobiography is they talk about how the person grew up. So the Ramban asked the following question: Avraham, the Torah starts, and we have no idea how he grew up. And we know that there's, like, the Midrashim tell us that it's not like he just stopped and grew up. Like, there's a pretty crazy story. He went into the Kishon Eish, he went into the fire, and he emerged, and he came out. So why doesn't the Torah tell us that story? The Ramban, crazy comment, he says that the reason the Torah didn't tell us that story is because it was never conclusive that Avraham, not sure what happened, that is what God, we know that God made the miracle. But the Ramban says that it was never conclusive, that the people of the time never fully agreed that, oh, this is a miracle from God. And there was never a conclusion. So if God would have put that in the Torah, then he would have had to also say the other opinion. He would have also said the other opinion of the other people that, oh, maybe this was just a miraculous event, and Avraham just somehow came out of the fire, and, like, God didn't really do the miracle. The ultimate place to learn how to argue, to learn how to have intellectual honesty, is from Hashem, is from God himself. But we're here today to debate topics, to explore different topics, and when obviously the topics themselves have value and the topics themselves are very interesting, but I urge you to pay attention also to the way in which the people debate the way in which the Rebbeim debate the topics, so we can learn how to properly debate different issues and how to properly explore different issues. We can be more like God, have intellectual honesty, and all the other different things. So just for structure-wise, there's going to be, just so you guys are all aware before, there's going to be an opening, 2-minute opening. There's going to be the core argument. There's going to be a 10-minute core argument from each. Then there's going to be a 5-minute response to each where they'll summarize the argument and they'll respond. And then there'll be some questions from the crowd. We'll get some crowd interaction. And then we'll have the closing. So, all right.
The Rav definitely has some years on me. I'm only 63.
Who's going first? I'm really going first.
You guys, I mean, whoever goes, you guys could do like
rock,
whoever
paper,
goes first
scissors.
Now goes first.
I'll start.
So first of all, Shalom Aleichem to everybody. I welcome the opportunity to share words of Torah with you, to share some perspectives. I'll start off with a quick story. I was going recruiting. I'm a Rebbe in Shalvim. I was going recruiting. And I spent Shabbos in the 5 months, and I was asked to give a shiur in the Hashkam Minyan at the Yom Gizel of Lawrence Cedarhurst, Yilk. So I went to the davening. Hashkama in America is not Hashkama in Eretz Yisrael. Hashkama in Eretz Yisrael is 6:25, 6:30. Hashkama there is like 7:30. You know, that's the Hashkama Minyan. And then afterwards, we went downstairs, and there was a Kiddush. It was a Kiddush. It was a serious, serious Kiddush. Ribs at the Kiddush of the Hashkama Minyan. There's only 25, 30 people that went to the Hashkama Minyan, and we went downstairs and there were ribs. It was very enjoyable. Very enjoyable. Had the ribs. And then everyone sat down for the shiur. And I gave the shiur on whatever the shiur was. But the first thing that I said was, I want to just thank you for being mechabed, such a wonderful guest with the ribs at the Kiddush. Was anything wrong with having ribs at the Kiddush? I don't think so. I think having basar, I'm a person who likes fleishiks. I enjoy fleishiks. If we're ever going to have milchiks versus fleishiks, on Shavuos, for example, my family likes having milchiks. But they know that I want to have fleishiks. We actually have a little partition in the table. Ein simcha ela bebasar, and I have fleishiks. Now the rest of the family has milchiks. Still sit at the same table. We share the same divrei Torah and zmiros. You're allowed to have fleishiks. You're allowed to be nanah from the world. And as long as it's done right, maybe Rabbi Zimmerman will talk about this. As long as it's done right, so then there's nothing wrong with having the ribs. I asked, you know, I went a year later, or 2 years later, and I was asked to give the same shiur. No ribs that time. I said, what happened to the ribs? It turns out it was the birthday of the person who was in charge of the food the last time, and that's why it was extra ribs. This time it was only, I don't know, fill in the blanks for the wonderful buster that was there.
Kugel.
Definitely Kugel, but I'm saying lots of meats. Just the ribs was an added element that wasn't there. And I think that a person is allowed to be nender from the world, and we'll talk about this in the more serious remarks. But this is my opening statement. My opening statement is that rabbis complain a lot. Rabbis rail a lot. I didn't look at all of the different debates that are going on now, but like, don't watch the Super Bowl and don't be on social media and all the don'ts, all the railings, all the pointing fingers that rabbis do. And you know what? Maybe this one is not exactly appropriate, because a person is allowed to be nender from this world. There might even be a mitzvah to be nender from this world. And as long as it's done in the right way, then absolutely a person should be nana. So I'm going to be the voice of the Jew. Do I think that that's the only voice? Maybe not. I think it would be food for thought. Maybe I'm speaking about food, so this should be food for thought. And maybe this will be food for thought for the future.
Very good. Reich, thank you. Just you should know, it's a pleasure to be asked to speak with Rav Reich at a situation like this, at a debate like this. The one word that I have in response to this, which I know we're going to get to the responses later, but really almost as an introduction, is escalation. Escalation. There is no question that everyone here knows what they would do if they had the money. The problem is some people get to do it. And there are people who don't have who do it anyway. And there are people who want to have who do it even more so. I know someone personally who is $450,000 in debt. I know a person who lives a life in which they project themselves as being one of the wealthiest people, one of the machers of the community, and has absolutely no money. He is being supported by me and my shul. I know people that try their very best to curtail what they think is a very normal, goshmias output, and it just doesn't happen that way. There is a pull to goshmias that keeps pulling and keeps pulling and keeps pulling, and it's very difficult to stop. It is not as well known as drugs. It's not as, I guess, well brought up in our circles as alcohol, but money is a massive issue, and it's something that is growing in our community day after day, hour after hour, and it is something that is so damaging. So although I definitely agree with the Rav's position that there has to be an amount, certain amount that you can do, and Gashmias is necessary for your Ruchnias, I feel if a person is not concentrating on Ruchnias and working on his Gashmias, what will happen is the Gashmias is going to take him over, and there is no turning back after that point. It is very difficult to go from ribs, as the Rav just pointed out, to a regular Kiddush. A regular Kiddush just feels like you're being let down, when there was nothing to be let down for in the first place. What's wrong with Kugel? What is wrong with potato Kugel? But once you get the potato Kugel and ribs, and you get to that next Kiddush, and you don't see ribs, you're like, this isn't even a Kiddush. What in the world am I going to? Why am I here? Then it already takes it one level down. We see that escalation goes more and more and more as time goes on. That's my introduction.
Next, we're going to go to the core arguments, just so you know, that's going to be 10 minutes each, and I'm also going to give a warning with two minutes left. Yeah, and also, do you guys just want to, just for everyone, just define what Gashmias and Ruchnias, just so everyone knows, in the audience knows what that is. Doesn't count as your time.
I don't want to define it too, let's just define it simply. Gashmias is the physical world, Ruchnias is spirituality. Good?
Perfect. Yeah.
So I'm going to start this
one. Yeah, please.
All right, perfect. So my core argument is that if you look throughout the Torah, throughout Shas, we will see many, many different instances in which people are taking down their Gashmias and building up their Ruchnias, and recognizing that each time they built up their Gashmias, they could not concentrate on their Ruchnias properly. My first example is going to be Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was a very, very wealthy individual. There's no question whatsoever. And yet he lived in a tent. even when he had a specific tent that was placed in Be'er Sheva or Hebron, he without a doubt had a tent, which was a temporary dwelling, and not the only thing used at the time. There is no question that they had houses back in the day of Avraham Avinu. The word bayis is used by Yaakov Avinu twice, so we know that there were houses. Nonetheless, ohel is used by Avraham Avinu, which means that he was willing to live in something that was less, let's say, less physically inclined in order to build up something else that was going to be there. That's number one. Number two, Yaakov versus Esav, the famous argument. Yaakov Avinu meets up with Esav, and Esav says, Yeshli Ravachi, I've got a lot. And Yaakov Avinu answers, Yeshli Kol, that I have absolutely everything. It is clear that the way of Esav is to keep wanting more and more and more, to deal with that word Rav, to keep going and think that I never have enough, I never have enough. Well, Yaakov Avinu was able to say, Yeshli Kol. He's able to give away most of his wealth, if not a good deal of his wealth, that he attained by Laban's house, and gave it over to Esav, knowing that this is something that he had to do in order to survive. He was perfectly fine with it. Yes, he went back for Pach and Kitanin because he recognized everything in his life. He recognized the little jugs, that even that had a purpose for him. But nonetheless, he understood that there was such a thing as too much, too much. Yeshli Kol, I've got everything. I don't need anything else more than that. Moshe Rabbeinu said about Klal Yisrael, Lo chamor echad mehem nasasi, I did not carry a chamor from any single person. Yes, Moshe Rabbeinu was given the remnants of the second luchos, which was made of a certain type of sapphire that made him a very wealthy individual. There's a question whether he had that beforehand. There was no question. He was a shepherd by Yisro for many, many years. Maybe the king of Cush before that. But afterward, Moshe Rabbeinu came back riding his children and his wife on a donkey. It was so strange that he rode them on a donkey, that when the Septuagint was made and Ptolemy asked the 72 Zakenim to sit down and rewrite the Torah in Greek, one of the words that they changed was this. They said, it's not proper for a leader of Klal Yisrael to have a donkey, and they changed it into Rochev Bnei Adam. You might have learned that in Megillah. This is a very clear example of Moshe Rabbeinu understanding that there could be something as too much. Dor HaMidbar, without a question, did not want to have anything more than what they were given. Yes, there were complaints, but the complaints were immediately silenced. They had the Mon, they had the Be'er Shel Miriam, they had tents. I want you to think to yourself for a second. They lived in tents for 40 years. These are not glamour tents that you can find in certain places. I think they're called glamping. These are not glamour little camping areas. These are tents that they lived with however many children they had. They lived in extremely squalor conditions. Bilam praised them for it, that their tents weren't open to the others. But they weren't having batim. The only time that the word bayis appears is by Dustin and Aviram, and it's in last week's Parsha. Possibly because of this, Dustin and Aviram said, why are we living in tents anymore? We might as well live in houses. We're not going anywhere. Shockingly, in last week's Parsha, not in Parshas Korach. That was that. Shmuel and Avi said very, very clearly he never took anything from Klal Yisrael. He refused to take anything from what Klal Yisrael had. He wouldn't take any money from them. The only time he ever took money was when they needed something specific. That's when Shmuel and Avi, when Shaul HaMelech and his Na'ar that was with him, came in and said, we have to give him something, etc. We have the Rambam in Pirkei Avos and Perek Dalid that gives his famous argument against Kolel. There is a Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the Yaivitz, has a great argument back. The Beis Yosef on the tour has a tremendous argument against the Rambam. In the Kesef Mishnah, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, has a great argument against the Rambam. But nonetheless, the Rambam in Pirkei Avos and Perek Dalid goes through the many, many Talmidei Chachamim that were not willing to take from others. He gives one after the other, Hillel, Yonas, and Ben Amram, etc., all of them one after the other, and how they wouldn't take from other people. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi in Ksuvas Daf Kuf Zayin said he never got anah, even with his tiny little finger from anything he had. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was unbelievably wealthy, equal to Antoninus, according to Rashi, equal to the Emperor of Rome in all of the great things that he had, and yet never used anything even up to his pinky finger in this world, so he would not benefit from Olam Hazeh. I want you to think about that for a second. A person that is that wealthy who would not gain anything in Olam Hazeh. David HaMelech fed himself on vegetables, according to the Medrash, because he didn't want to get the hanah that you could possibly have. And we have the raya beyond everything. Shlomo HaMelech lived a life of excess. whether he did it in order to show a Kadosh Baruch Hu that he could do it, or he did it because of a possible chait. And I don't want to say it that way, because the Gemara on Shabbos on Daf Nun Vavam and Beis says very clearly that Shlomo Melech lo chata, he never sinned, and anybody who thinks he sinned has made a mistake. Nonetheless, there are Rishonim, including the Abar, well, we'll go with the Ralbag, the Abar Ben El as well, that says very clearly that Shlomo Melech made a mistake when it came to his overusage of money. It is certainly the implication of the Ramban, but Shlomo Melech is the one that used things in excess, and when he did so, we know what happened to him. We know at the end of his life that he is blamed, whether he's a Melech the Hedyot and never got his Malchus back, even if he was a Melech Hedyot the Melech, he lost his kingdom for a little bit. He was taken down by Ashmedai, king of the demons, one of the destructive forces of this world, whether that's referring to his ego or referring to something that's on the outside. Regardless, Shlomo Melech was taken down from his use of excess, all the things that he had in this world. Unfortunately, this seems to be exactly what happened to Yerovam ben Nevat. Once he was once known as the biggest Talmid Chacham of Klal Yisrael, and once he became the king of Yisrael, he could not bear to lose what he had. He used everything he had into making golden calves, allowed them, put one in Beis El, one in Dun. And unfortunately, we see everything right out there. I have no doubt that there are people out there that have the ability to use Gashmius in a proper fashion. But the problem is, when Gashmius becomes the focus, when Gashmius isn't even the focus, but is concentrated on in a way where Gashmius is treated as something that is important, so important that it is equal to, or even on the level with, or can be used properly, we know what the results are. We see Gedolim who won't. We see great people who can't. And in that way, I would say that Ruchnius is something that we have to concentrate on. Gashmius is something that we have to very, very much put a clamp on as much as possible. However, I also understand how one can use something like that properly.
I'll leave the chance to respond to wherever Zeman said for afterwards. Judaism brought a different perspective on the way to relate to Gashmius and the way to relate to physicality in the Olam Hazeh. As opposed to other religions, Christianity, for example, that in order to become a priest, in order to take the vow, you'd have to take a vow of celibacy, you'd have to take a vow to denounce worldly pleasures, to denounce ownership in items. Judaism does not believe that. Judaism does not believe that we were put in a body as a bidyeved. We are not just physical and ruchnius. We are not physical and spiritual just by accident. And it isn't, we don't have to apologize the fact that we are physical beings. We're not trying to stifle our physicality. We're not trying to suppress it at all. In other religions, that's what happens with disastrous results. We are allowed as a absolute lechatchila to enjoy life. Within reason, maybe not too much focus, maybe only within your means. There are all these subtleties. But the core idea is that we are supposed to live a life, an enjoyable life. And an enjoyable life is not just ruchnius. We're supposed to enjoy life on a gashmius level too. Where do we see that? What are some of the makoros that suggest this? So one of the most important marmakomos on this idea is the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi at the end of Maseches Kiddushin says, Reb Chizkiya, Reb Kohen, B'shem Rav, Asid Adam Litein Din V'cheshvan, Al Kol Shara Eino V'lo Achal. A person is going to have to answer, Achar Me'ev Esrim, if he saw things that were obviously mutter to eat, and he didn't eat it. Now, what do you mean? What's the importance of that? You have to eat every type of fruit. You have to eat every type of kosher meat. You have, why? Why? Anything. Kol masharayin el v'lo achal. What's the idea behind this Yerushalmi? What's the source of this Yerushalmi? So first of all, the idea behind Yerushalmi, the Tashbetz is quoted by some of the Nosei Kelim on Shulchan Aruch that says, in order to be marbe bebrachos, in order so that you can keep on saying Baruch Atah Hashem, and give Akar Satok to the Ribono Shel Olam. And that might be true. However, the Mishnah Brura says what is absolutely the easier pshat here. The Mishnah Berurah writes, "Vatam kedei laharos shechaviv alav briyaso shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu," that Hakadosh Baruch Hu created trees, fruits, animals, so that you could eat from. What are they there for? As just a concession to physical man? As just a, listen, you're going to have to eat, so this is what you have to eat. You know what, I'd rather you not eat that. I'd rather a person, right, each time, a person, every time he puts food into his mouth, he goes, I'm really only a spiritual being, but you know, I guess I have to eat. You're always apologizing to yourself. You're always filled with guilt. You're always filled with shame. Oh my gosh, why am I eating right now? You're going to go to lunch today. Let's say there's schnitzel. So you go like, no, don't give me a big schnitzel. Give me only a little schnitzel. Every single time you have to apologize. You have to. It's all a concession. It's not true. Have the schnitzel. Have the sweet and sour sauce. Have the sauce on top. You know what? They allow you to have a second piece of schnitzel. You're allowed to have a second piece of schnitzel. Right? You're allowed to be ochel. That's this Yerushalmi. We're not apologizing for enjoying the physical world. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to enjoy the physical world. Now, where's it coming from? Where did the Yerushalmi even know that from? The Meshech Chachma says that it's from the tzivui of Adam HaRishon in the Gan, in Gan Eden. Mikol Eitz Tochal. It's from that. And then he quotes the Yerushalmi. It wasn't just, you should eat from all the other fruits, but not from the fruits of the Eitz Hadas. So how would you learn that? To go like, it's really, don't. Yeah, you got to eat, so you eat from this. That's not the pshat, says the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma says there's a mitzvah to eat these fruits. And also, at the same time, there's an iser. It doesn't mean, like, you know, wanton gashmias. It doesn't mean go nuts. It doesn't mean go crazy. But at the core of it, the enjoyment of life is something that is positive, that is something that is absolutely lechatchila. With all the scary stories that are out there, and a lot of them are true. But the core idea here is that to be naneh from life. It is actually even connected to this week's parsha. Parshas Re'eh, how often do I get a chance to speak about Parshas Re'eh? In yeshiva, we finish before the summer when guys go to summer programs. And then the guys come back, Elul, when does Elul start? It's always Parshas Shoftim. Parshas Re'eh gets shafted. Parshas Re'eh really gets knocked. And then there was one year that they came early. The guys came early, preparing for an Elul on Sunday or Monday. So they came before Shabbos, and it was not even Elul yet, and it was Re'eh. And I remember speaking, it was the first Shabbos, they let me speak to the whole yeshiva at the time, and I spoke about how in Parshas Re'eh, we have the words, Ki Archiv Hashem Es Elokecha Es Gvulcha, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu expands your borders, Kasher Diber Lach, V'amarta Ochla Basar Ki Taven Afshechalach El Basar, and you say, I want to eat because I have the taiva to eat meat, Kechol Avas Nafshecha Tochal Basar. You have the taiva to eat meat. You have the desire to eat meat. Desire is not a bad thing. You have the want to eat meat. Kechol avas nashecha tochal basar. Now, what's pshat here? What's pshat in the pasuk? So, based on one Gemara in Chulin, it sounds like it's just a heter. You have a taiva to eat meat. You're allowed to give in to that taiva, and you're allowed to eat meat. But Reb Sadia Gaon counts this as one of the mitzvahs. Kechol avas nashecha tochal basar. And you know where Reb Yerucham Fishel Perlau, the famous Achron, about 80, 90 years ago, who wrote a parish on Reb Sadia Gaon, says, you know what Reb Sadia Gaon was counting here as a mitzvah? That there's a mitzvah to eat basar, there's a mitzvah to be neneh from the world. It's not a heter. It's a mitzvah. And it's learned out from this pasuk. Kechol avas nashecha tochal basar. So this is the idea. The idea is to be neneh from the world. We have an absolute lechatchila to be neneh from the world, with all the potential restrictions that could come after that. It's too important. It's too focused. People will be beyond their means. And all the scary issues, which, by the way, I'm not minimizing. But a person, when you want to tackle the topic, you have to first start with the ikar. And the ikar is, we do not run away from this world. You know, it's a very famous, you've probably heard this Dvar Torah a million times, that what's Klal Yisrael's tafkid in life? To be Mekadosh the Chomer. To be Mekadosh the Chomer, to elevate this world. I want to tell you that very often, I quote the opposite. I say the flip side of it. When we talk about that we're Mekadosh the Chomer, who are we saying that we're different than? We're different than the Goyim. How are we different than the Goyim? The Goyim, all they have is Chomer, all they have is the physical world. But we can elevate the physical world, right? We're Mekadosh the Chomer. How many times have you even, maybe at your bar mitzvah, you already spoke about that, right? You've heard that bar Torah a million times. But there's times where we focus not on our difference from Goyim, but on our difference from Malachim. We're not angels. That's not a sad Nebuch. We're not angels. We're just mere flesh and blood. We're only Nebuchs. We're people instead of angels. Not true. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Anshei Kodesh Tiyunli. It's not an apology. We are able to do things that the Malachim can't. You know what they can't do? They can't bring Kedusha to a physical world. It's not to be Mekadosh the Chomer. I've coined the phrase a long time ago. I've still never have heard it since. We can be Mechamer the Kedusha. We can take Kedusha ideas, spirituality, and physicalize them. We can take Kedusha and put it in this world. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, used to say that the purpose of this world is Dira B'Tachtonim, to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu expression in this world, in the physical world. Do you know when you're going to have that piece of schnitzel, maybe even that second piece of schnitzel at lunch today, you're going to make a bracha. You know, you're going to make a shahakal or a mezainasan. You're going to make two brachas. You're going to make a batafel. You know, what are you bracha you're going to make in the schnitzel? Good, good. You'll make a bracha. You'll also eat like a civilized human being. You won't take the schnitzel in your hand. You won't be using your right hand and your left hand to eat that schnitzel. Okay? We're people, but we can bring Kedusha to that setting. Do you know that the Malachim can't eat that schnitzel? We can eat that schnitzel. Unless you think, I hope you're timing this.
Are we close? A minute and a half left.
Tell you, there's a Magid Midubna that is one of the most beautiful Magid Midubnas. I love this Magid Midubna. I can't promise the fact that if you come to Shalvin, you're in my shoe, you're going to hear it again. I apologize in advance, but you know, Avram Avinu, there's a medrash about Avram Avinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu went to go get the Torah from Har Sinai, the Malachim wanted to be pogea the Moshe Rabbeinu. They said, we're going to hurt Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't want him to receive the Torah. Why, God, are you giving the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu and Am Yisrael? Leave it upstairs in Shemayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Avram Avinu's face turn into Moshe Rabbeinu's face. He had Moshe Rabbeinu's face turn into Avram Avinu's face so that he looked like Avram Avinu. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, didn't you eat in his house as a guest? Now you want the Torah? And the Medrash is so perplexing. Because they ate one time at Avram Avinu's house, they have to give up the Torah forever and ever. So there's a lot of words, Sakaros HaTov, and it doesn't matter right now. But the Magid Midubna says such an incredible pshat here. You know what the Malachim were thinking? And he explains, how does the Magid Midubna explain everything? No? How does he explain everything, a Magid Midubna? With a mashal, with a parable. And here's the mashal. There was once a king, in every mashal there's a king, who had one son, there's always a prince. And there was a king and a prince, and the prince overheard the chief of staff of the king bragging to the other officers and saying, you know, who's number two in this land, in this country? It's not the prince, it's me. Because very often I have to have private conversations with the king, and we have to kick out Prince Jr. We have to kick out the prince in order so we can have a private conversation. The prince overheard this and started getting very, very sad, got depressed, and got sick. They tried to find all the doctors. It wasn't working because it was an emotional issue. It was something of depression. He was sad. So they said at some point, somebody had the idea, let's cheer up the prince. So everyone started doing whatever there was. They bring the juggler, and the guy's juggling. Okay? You got the karate guy, the black belt in karate, who's breaking pieces of wood. And then the chief of staff is called upon to try to cheer up the prince. So what he puts on, a bear costume. So he puts on the bear costume, the whole bear costume, okay, with the head, and he's there, and he's jumping around in front of the prince, and like, hey, nothing's working. He sees that the prince is still upset. He's schwitzing like anything. He takes off the head, and he's now standing like this with the head. And all of a sudden, the prince sees that the chief of staff schwitzing in the bear costume, holding the bear head. All of a sudden, he breaks out into a smile. Thinks he's more important than me. think he's more important than me. He just had to schwitz in a bear costume in order so that he could make me happy. Who's more important? Says the Magen Midubna, that's what's happening by the Malachim. The Malachim think that the Torah should stay in Shemayim. You know why? They think they're on a higher level than men. You know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows? You ate in Avram Avinu's house. When Avram Avinu wanted guests in his Ohel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you guys play dress up so that you can go to Avram Avinu's tent so that you could be guests in his house because he needs guests and he wants guests. Who's on a higher level? Man or Malachim? Man or angel? It's man who's on a higher level. We're on a higher level, not because we can focus on Ruchnius. The Malachim can focus on Ruchnius with singular devotion. We are different than Malachim because we embrace and enjoy the physical world. We do not take a vow of poverty. We do not take a vow of celibacy. We enjoy life. You're allowed to be comfortable, and you're allowed to enjoy the physical world.
How many minutes was that over?
Well, minutes
that's like minus 10, right?
No, minus 30.
So I got like, I'm good.
You can punish me.
Right,
can punish
like, me. No, I could buzzer in right now. I'm good. what are we doing now?
Now we're going to do a response.
Response?
At least the beginning of the response, if you can like say like at least one thing that you like that the other person said.
No.
Wow.
that's my addition, but I think that.
Okay, rewrite, please.
Yeah, and afterwards we're going to do a question.
Can I start wrong?
Yeah.
Same level. Okay.
Oh, you have a question. You're right.
Please.
I really, you know, in these types of debates where nuance is important and details are important, I'm not really sure that in many of these, some of the debates I think will actually lead to real arguments, real chiluke deos. You know, it's whether to watch the Super Bowl or not. I guess you need a yes or no answer to that, unless they're both in agreement yes, both in agreement no. But I definitely am...
Chewy schnitzel while you're watching the Super Bowl. That's probably important.
The idea that we should be concerned where Gashmius is too focused on, too much importance, too much seriousness, where you all of a sudden you put it on the same level as Ruchnius, as if it's just as important... I think that that's absolutely correct. I think the fact that there are people who are living beyond their means, or at least the drive to live beyond their means, is something that is crippling many, many communities. Although I would say that it's not only in the modern Orthodox world, it's in every community. It's in Lakewood, it's everywhere. The houses get a little bit bigger, the kiddushim get a little bit fancier. I remember that in Shalvim, in the makolet. We have a little makolet in Shalvin. Now it's a big makolet. But now it's a big supermarket. But we used to have a little makolet. I was told that before I came to yeshiva in 1990, I was told that the makolet only had the basics. The bread, the milk, only the little things. And then they wanted to bring ices. Ices. Arctic. Meaning the simpler one. The simple one. Not Ben and Jerry, nothing like that. ISIS. And one of the Rebbetzin said, luxuries, maestros, what's this doing here? What's this doing here? This should just be the basics, just be the basics. My response is that it's not maestros, it's not luxuries. You're allowed to live comfortably. And so a lot of the issue is just kavana. How much kavanah do you give to it? If I, throughout an entire morning seder, even in Kolel, am thinking about, are they serving schnitzel for lunch? I got to get there early in order so that I can get that piece of schnitzel. Or maybe I'll get that second piece of schnitzel. And then the whole morning, instead of learning this, the Ma'amar Mekomos, instead of listening to the shir, that's your focus. That's a problem. It's a problem. I think the preoccupation with it is definitely an issue. I just want to respond to some of the arguments that Rabbi Zimmerman made. In terms of leaders, Moshe Rabbeinu, Shmuel, leaders are different. Could be even Rabbi Zimmerman is different. It could be even as a... Maybe I'm different also because of that. Anyway, but in terms of Mechanchim and Rabbanim...
I was going to use that
argument. Mechanchim and Rabbanim maybe have to be different. Maybe have to be different. Now, well, how do they have to be different? Moshe Rabbeinu was off the charts. Moshe Rabbeinu mamish has to... as we bring in Gashmias for the to enhance this Ruchnias experience. Leaders sometimes have to be different, but leaders also have to lead. How do they have to lead? Number one is you can't be nene from public money. So a lot of the examples of Moshe Rabbeinu and Shmuel, that you can't live off the community. The Rambam's problem with being nene midivrei Torah is exactly that. It had nothing to do with trying to lead a more ascetic lifestyle. It was much more about not taking from the public coffers and actually being nene from that. I think that a rabbi, maybe I'm actually even challenging, maybe even the conservative or the traditional role of Rabbanim always was maybe Rabbanim have to have barbecues. Maybe Rabbanim have to show that even when you have a barbecue, and even when you have just even a friendly barbecue, that there's a Dvar Torah presented. There's actually somebody gets up and speaks and says a Dvar Torah at a regular barbecue, not a simcha, at a regular barbecue, that there's a Dvar Torah, that brachos are said, that benching is done b'kavana. Maybe it has to be shown how to do it right. Instead of, if you look at Rabbanim, I remember one of the Rabbanim, when I was a bachur in yeshiva, we had an older Rav whose father was a Talmud of Rav Baruch Ber. That's how far back it went. I'm done. He said that he himself, when he wanted to move out of his two-bedroom apartment in Bnei Brak to a three-bedroom apartment in Bnei Brak, so his wife was telling him, "We got to move. We can't fit the six children in the two bedrooms. You got to move to the three-bedroom apartment." So he goes, "All right, I'll ask the Rosh Shiva." He asked Rosh Shach. Rosh Shach goes, "Maestros, luxuries, moving from the two-bedroom apartment to the three-bedroom apartment." When you looked at the way Rabbi Eliyahu lived, you look at the way Chaim Kanievsky lived, that's certainly a madrega, but I don't think we're on that madrega. And when a person tries to embrace madregos that they're not on, when a person tries to live a life, I don't know if any, I've never seen any Rabbanim in our community live in hovels like Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky and like Rabbi Eliyahu. I haven't seen that. Are they missing something? Are they on a lower madrega because of it? I don't believe so. Can't embrace madregas that are not your own. It would be nice. It's not important. That's really for the closing remarks, but go ahead.
Very good. Rav Reich, everything you said was amazing. I think that there were some major, major points that one of them being that there's no way that we should live an aesthetic life to be like the monks of the Christians. Nobody is supposed to be a monk. And nobody is supposed to give up everything that they own. There's no question whatsoever. However, I am going to get to this point in a second, but the Chafetz Chaim, I once went to my Rebbe Ravel in Beis Yisrael, and Rebbe Ravel did not wear his tzitzis out. And I asked him, "Why don't you wear your tzitzis out? Many Rebbeim wear their tzitzis out. Why don't you wear it out?" He said, "Because my Rebbe was Reb Gussman. Reb Gussman saw the Chafetz Chaim, and the Chafetz Chaim did not wear his tzitzis out." So I said, "Why didn't the Chafetz Chaim wear his tzitzis out?" He says in the Mishnah Berurah that you wear your tzitzis out. You should wear your tzitzis. You should show your tzitzis. Reason so. And he said, "There's what the Chafetz Chaim wrote, and there's what the Chafetz Chaim did." And that's a very interesting chiluk. And I don't want to go into that specific one. There are certain parts of the Chafetz Chaim that are very, very interesting in what he did. The Chafetz Chaim, I would assume, and I'm not positive about this, but somebody would have to ask him, I would doubt he ate anything other than bread and water. Maybe he had some chicken or meat once in a while. I would doubt he had anything more than that. When the Chafetz Chaim is translating Maimari Chazal and saying that you should enjoy everything in this world, there is no way he meant that to be that you should try every single thing in the world, that every time you go to a really expensive restaurant, you try something different. So you have the duck peking this time, and you have the ribs braised with, whatever it is, and then lamb chops the next time. There is no way that that's what the Chafetz Chaim meant. I have no doubt that there's something to it in which you are supposed to enjoy what is normal for a person to get out of this world. I have no doubt whatsoever when it comes to that. I think the raya is from Gan Eden itself. The Rav brought up the line of Mikol Etzagan Tochal, that you should eat from all the trees of the garden, but not from the Eitz Hadas, and technically not from the Eitz Chaim also. They were kicked out before they had the chance to eat from the Eitz Chaim. There are certain things we don't do. There are certain things we should never do. If it's an all-you-can-eat, which I did when I was in yeshiva at Pizza Hut, an all-you-can-eat pizza that is going out there, there is nothing worse for a yeshiva bachur to sit in yeshiva all day and then get to an all-you-can-eat pizza and stuff himself until he's so filled toward the gill he can't get up anymore. There is such a thing as the all-you-can-eat sushi that they used to do in, I forgot what it is, it's that hotel that's right by the King David, but not the King David, not the Waldorf, but the one across the street from the Waldorf. Anybody know what it is?
Citadel.
The Citadel, yeah, and the Citadel, and the David Citadel, that in that restaurant, they used to have an all-you-can-eat sushi. Until when? Until the yeshiva guys found out about it. And then it was over. Then it was absolutely over. Because it just took them apart. I think they did it for the Ruchnius. I'm pretty sure they did it for the Ruchnius. But that was that. The fact that the Rav Sadia Gaon brings this down as a mitzvah and no one else does shows you something. We don't paskin like Rav Sadia Gaon when it comes to mitzvahs. Rav Sadia Gaon was one of the most interesting, I would say, the most, I don't want to say the word. It doesn't work well with a Gaon, right? With one of the Gaonim of Klal Yisrael. Rav Sadia Gaon is one of the most interesting Gaonim. What he writes is some of the most interesting things you would ever read. Yeah, you wouldn't understand it. He would be less than a modern Orthodox rabbi nowadays. If Rav Sadia Gaon would write what he did now, it would almost be like open orthodoxy in some of the things Rav Sadia Gaon write. I obviously, we do not hold the way Rav Sadia Gaon was a Gaon beyond Gaonim. But there are some things that he writes and you're just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you just said that. Rav Sadia Gaon is amazing. But it would be scary. These are the types of things that I'd like to point out to everybody. Yes, 100% Gashmius is here. Yes, 100% there are certain things that you must enjoy. No, you cannot take that too far. And yes, it will go too far if you start getting involved in these types of things. I have no doubt that the next year for that guy's birthday, he brought in not just ribs, he brought in a cow. They brought in an entire cow, and they shechted it on Friday, an Erev Shabbos, right in front of Kolo? No, right in front of everybody, and gave them, like, the pieces right there with, like, extra chefs, with the little guys, like, cutting, carvings. Have you ever been to a carving at a Kiddush before on Shabbos? Everybody, we have carvings now, right? It's amazing. We have carvings at Kiddush. I had an ice sculpture at my shul for a Kiddush once. An ice sculpture of an angel. Well, where are we going with this? At least it was an angel, not a human being. Better than that. But that's the concept. And this is what I would say is the scariest thing to me. What is happening to our world? We have to realize this now or else. That's it. Okay. We got 2 minutes?
What? Yeah, so we have time for like one question. Yeah.
What did the go on what? The
I'm sorry, the what?
What the Thalakon, what? The left amount of effects.
Oh, I didn't mean it that way. I shouldn't say it that way. Rav Sadia Gaon was a tremendous, tremendous tzaddik who did absolutely everything kahalacha. There are certain things that he says that would not pass in our world today. There are certain things that just don't work in our world. It doesn't matter. When you learn more and you get to Rav Sadia Gaon's writings, you'll see them and you'll be like, okay, I hear it. That was for his time.
We can do like one question, but like a 30-second answer from Alicia. Okay. Sorry.
I don't think it's much of an argument. I feel like both seem like both are saying the same thing. I guess I would compare it to Machloket of
man.
Of wait, of Gamliel and Chachamim. I would say like because Gamliel says you could do Gosha with a Shachar. I would say that's more like Reish because he's saying that like he's being a little more like lenient, like you. You should enjoy, but you both agree that, like, they both agree that Shema should be said at the same time. You both agree that they should have some sort of control over Gashmius. But if Zerim is Mizmar Chachamim, he's more strictly about Hakir Gadol than Avera.
That's not a question. I just want to point
that
out.
It's not a question,
I'm just saying. Where's the argument in math? I feel like this is the same.
Yeah, let's get one question.
It's not a question.
I guess just to be.
It's a good point. It's a great point. But
to be more true to the title of the Shir, how would, I guess, the Rebbeim feel? Yes, like using smoked brisket to be Mitzvah Me'ach HaSimcha, or a watch in terms of Kabbalah Shabbos, like expensive watches, is that something, I guess, just to stay true to the actual title, like, is there a time for excess Gashmis to actually be used to be Mekadesh the whole, like Rebresh was alluding to, or is there really never a point where excess falls into our Lishka?
1 minute each.
Okay.
I asked this question to Revelia Brudny with a bunch of people in my shul, and we asked, can a very wealthy balabas who gives 20% to tzedakah, can he take a private plane to go to New York when he needs to go somewhere? Revelia Brudny said yes. So my answer is, even though I've been concentrating on ruchnius, it definitely depends on the person. Is somebody like me making braised brisket, maybe that's because I'm a rabbi and whatever it is, or maybe it's whatever it is, that would be absolutely the wrong thing to do. Somebody like him, yeah, a guy who is making that amount of money, who this is not making a dent whatsoever, and he owns a private plane, that is something that would be normal for him. So that's a little bit too much, but the same basic idea. Rush.
My real taina against all of these things is only if there's too much importance given to it and too much preoccupation with it. If that's all you cared about and you spent, 60 hours trying to pick out which watch, and not only that, not only did you want an expensive watch, you wanted the one that would convey the most dripping wealth in front of other people. You can do this with terrible, terrible kavanos. You could want to like stick it to the rest of the community that you're so successful. A lot of the kavanos play really such a tremendous role, so that it's really what's excess and what's not excess. Everybody's different and everybody has different bank accounts. The Gemara in Chulin even says that for certain people, they'll only have vegetables too. For those certain people who are a little bit wealthier, they'll have different things for dinner. Everybody's dinner is different because also maybe you'll be able to have a lamb chop you'll put it in the oven. It's really not about the actual excess. It's really about the kavanos that play a role.
Okay. Yeah. We'll do closing arguments, but a real 2 minutes.
Okay, I'll try. I chose to make Aliyah 1997. That's already now 26 years ago. I've now lived most of my life in Eretz Yisrael. I've now Rubo Kekulo in Eretz Yisrael. And one of the things that I absolutely love about living in Eretz Yisrael is that it is a much more physically pashut life. I like the fact that at our Kiddushim, it's Yerushalmi Kugel, crackers with herring. Sometimes there's potato kugel and sometimes there's not. And that's it.
Oi.
I like the fact that it's like that. I love the... Not like the fact that I love it. I love the fact that it's like that. I also think that that's the ideal. The ideal is not to go crazy with it. At the same time, I like living in a comfortable house and build a little shack for myself. I built a nice house for myself. I think that a person is allowed to live comfortable. One person's comfortable is another person's excess. Somebody will look at my house and go like, what is this dripping American wealth? And another person will say like, what do you mean it's just comfortable? You know, does anybody rail against the big homes that are in Chicago or in Teaneck or in the five towns? And like, does anybody like start saying like, we have to stop building these big homes? A person's allowed to live comfortably. Is a home sometimes too big? It could be. But I wanted the core idea to be the most important, which is to be nene from this world is not something to be taken lightly. We should enjoy this world. The Yerushalmi actually has an ending that not everybody quotes. The Gemara quotes, the Yerushalmi quotes, that Reb Lezer, chashash lahadashmaita, he was very concerned about being nene from this world. U'matzmiach le'pritin va'achle v'hon mikol melech chadab shasa. He would grow things in order so that he could eat from them every year. Every year, a reminder. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put into this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has allowed me to be nene from this world, an enjoyment in this world. I'll tell you where Gashmius becomes the greatest threat. It's when it gets you to just sit down and all you care about is gratification. All you care about is instant gratification. All you care about is the here and now. I want to tell you the greatest threat to basically all of you, Talmidim, is not the Gashmius. It's the sitting and doing nothing on your cell phone. I know that's not our topic, but it is a little bit of our topic. Because it's not about even what you're seeing on your cell phones. The idea of not being active. Being nene from this world means that you're going to go out. You're going to go do things. You should go see the world. To see my Alps, as Rav Shlomo Frau Hirsch says. Because Rav says, I made an Alps. Shouldn't you see my Alps? People should go there in order so that they can be nene from this world so they can see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. You should be nene from the Alps. But it should always be involved with doing things. But the enemy of that is sitting and doing nothing. The idea of just sitting on your phone, because this is what I enjoy now. I want to be nene from this world. I'm being nene right now from sitting on my cell phone. That's the disaster of this world, of not doing things and not being active. But if you're going to actively see the world, enjoy the world, and see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has here to offer, then it's an absolute lechatchila with all the threats that are that are possible.
Very good. I live in a big house. I do. I live in a big house. It has 6 bedrooms. It's pretty big. I have a really big study. It's pretty large. My kids know that on our flight here, I had 6 of my 8 tickets upgraded to business class. So I sat in the back because of Precious. But I had 6 of my 8 tickets upgraded. So my kids sat in business class to come there
and scroll the very first time. I am sitting in business class.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't. That's why I sat in the back. I was sitting there with all the poor
would
people.
Would the Chavetz Chaim live in a big house? Like
would his kids. Anyway, right, would his kids. all of these things are there. The Ramban, obviously we all know this in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim to you, says his famous line, right, that you should be mekadosh yourself and motzei lach. Listen, there are certain things that every single person can do. There's no question Rabbi Yehuda Nasi had a table filled with unbelievable things, but he didn't get nene from them. He tried his very best to do as little as possible. There are certain things that every single person can do, and every single person here can take from themselves and say to themselves, here's the deal. I know I can do X. I'm going to do Y. I know that I could be X, but I'm not. I'm going to be Y. And I think that's exactly what the Ramban is trying to say with Kedoshim to you. I think it's exactly what's Mekadosh yourself, the Motulach. And that's exactly why I sat in the back section while my kids sat in business. No, that's not true. It's because I felt bad for them. But I think that's exactly what it is. You do everything that you can within your means. Within your means is so important. And say to yourself, is there one thing that I could take away? Could I possibly, during the times of Elul up until after Yom Kippur, say to myself, I won't go to a movie theater. I won't spend that extra dollar. I won't do something extra. That's part of Kadosh Atzmacha b'Mutar Lach means. It's making yourself a little bit holier and taking yourself a little bit away from all the things that we know we all have access to at all times. Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.
There's also Max Cake over there.